All right, let's jump into this. Luke chapter what? All right, let's make sure I said what I thought I said. I'm like, what happened? Verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let me tell you, my wife is sick today, so she's not here. And my daughter and the campus kids are at a campus retreat. So I get to tell you this without them being around. So I'm going to tell you how I asked her to be my girlfriend. We were in Texas at the time, and I took her to this restaurant called Papado's, very nice southern kind of restaurant. And, you know, I actually dressed up that day. She always looked nice. We went to the restaurant, got a reservation, had our table, and I'm sitting there. I'm being smooth as all get out. I'm just smooth talking to her. Why are you laughing so much, Barbara? She up here in tears in the front. Leave me alone. So we're sitting there, and I get a little bit nervous, but I'm like, I got to be too cool to be nervous. I can't let it show. So we're sitting there, and, you know, we order our meals, and then the first part comes out. The soups come out. I'm like, yeah, we're about to make this thing happen right here. And so I said to myself, I said, self, now it's time to make my move. And so I thought, let me just reach over and grab her hand real smooth, and then I'm going to ask her, would you be my girlfriend? And as I was starting to eat, I reached over, and I hit the spoon, and it like, it probably wasn't slow motion, but it felt like it in my heart. In like 30 seconds, it was floating in the air. And I'm thinking, do I catch it? Do I let it land in the soup? How can I be smooth about it? So I tried to grab it out the air, and I totally missed everything. And it just went poosh, right in the soup. Stuff splattered everywhere. That was smooth, wasn't it? She was still gracious enough to say yes. But you know, man, I forgot all about that, seriously. Have you ever tried to impress somebody? A guy, a girl, God? I mean, we've all fallen into that trap one way or another. We try to impress people. And Luke 18 talks to us about that. So I want to talk to us today about what impresses God. That's the title of my letter, What Impresses God? Now, Jesus is talking to every single one of us who at times have ever been self-righteous. You say, well, I've never been self-righteous. You just did. By thinking you've never been, you are. But Luke makes it very clear who Jesus is talking to. He starts out in verse 9. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else. You say, well, I never look down on people. Okay, this message is especially for you. So, what impresses God? Number one, what impresses God is when you don't try to impress God. That's what impresses God, when you don't try to impress God. Again, look in verse 10, Luke 18, verse 10. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Now, honestly, when we first read this, we would think this Pharisee is a good guy. I mean, he's a good person. He fasts twice a week. Many of us in this room don't fast twice a week. But he's fasting twice a week, and he gives generously. He had a heart for religion, but the problem was his religion had no heart. He did a lot of things for God, but he didn't have a heart like God. He was standing at the center of the court of the temple. And the reason he stood there is because that's the best place for everybody to see him. So he's standing where everybody can see him, so he can say his prayers of how great he is. He wanted everybody to know who he was. We read it said he fasted twice a week. Now the Old Testament only required a Jew to fast once a year on the Day of Atonement. So this guy fasted 103 times more than he had to. We read that he gave a tithe of everything. In the Old Testament, you're required to tithe your income. But he not only tithed his income, but everything else he bought and purchased and received. So he basically double tithed. Now, you look at that and you think, okay, there's nothing wrong with fasting twice a week. And there's nothing wrong with giving more than what you normally would give. It's about the heart. It's not about all that you're giving. See, his problem was just as some of us have today. He thought his goodness gained him brownie points with God. He thought God accepts a person based upon what they do. Now, many of us aren't going to admit that, but we think that sometimes. We act like that sometimes. Sometimes we think, because I'm doing this, this, and that, I'm more righteous. But you know the problem is that when you're not able to do this, this, and that, then you start feeling guilty. You start feeling like God doesn't love you. You start wondering, is your salvation there? Because everything is based upon what you do instead of upon what and who God is. If you're trusted in anything, church membership, your attendance, baptism, the length of your quiet time, you trust in anything other than Jesus, you're fooling yourself. And we've got to listen to that because some of us trust in other things other than Jesus. You say, but there's no way I love Jesus. I'm not saying you don't love Jesus, but I'm saying you're trusting in other things than Jesus. Because if we don't have the heart of Jesus when it comes to mercy, grace, forgiveness, love, then we're missing out. Instead of mercy is to do. Instead of grace is did you do? I mean, we've got to focus on God and not upon the acts of service. I heard a story about a sixth grade girl who came home from school one day excited. She had been voted the prettiest girl in class. The next day, she was even more excited when she came home. She had been voted most likely to succeed. Then the next day, she came home and she was even more ecstatic. Why? Because she had just been voted the most popular. When she came home the fourth day, and she was not as excited. The mother said, what happened? Did you lose? She said, no, I won. She said, well, what were you voted? She said, I was voted the most stuck up. See, the Pharisee in this text, he would have won most stuck up, religious person. Why? Because he had an eye problem. I'm not talking about his vision. I'm talking about eyes. Look at what it says here in verse 11 again. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Everything was about I, me. It was nothing about God. It was all about how he felt, what he was doing, how he saw things. It was no spirituality in this prayer. Four times the word I is used in just those two verses. See, he had an inflation and deflation problem. His problem was he had an inflated view of who he was and a deflated view of who God is. When we start getting focused on I, we have an inflation and deflation problem. Christian writer C.S. Lewis once said, "A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you can't see what's above you." The Pharisee fooled himself about himself. Again, look at verse 11. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. "Thank you that I'm not like other men." But see, this was his problem. He was like other men. Because Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." He didn't put himself in the category of all men. He was even above mankind. We've got to understand, we are all peers to each other because we are all sinners. There's nobody above anybody else in this entire congregation, not just Bronx. Amen? There was a man on trial charged with burglary. As he was standing before the judge said, "Sir, you can let me try your case, or you can choose to have a jury of your peers." The man thought for a moment and said, "Your Honor, what are peers?" The judge said, "Well, there are people just like you." The defendant said, "Forget it. I don't want to be tried by a bunch of thieves." Take a moment. I'm letting it marinate. Whether it's a big sin, somebody just said, "Oh." Whether it's a big sin or small sin, sin is sin, guys. It doesn't matter how you were raised, where you were raised, what your culture is, what your race is. Sin is sin in all of us. But here's the problem. Mankind, us, we kind of all of a sudden give sin a greater weight value. You watch the news. I saw the other day somebody walked up, punched an 83-year-old man, kicked him in the chest in the Bronx. And we say, "That's just horrendous. That person is on their way to hell. They are just so evil." Yeah, they sin. But what about the person that's lazy? What about the person that's jealous? What about the person that's just unforgiving? What about the person that just won't be unified? That's just as sinful as kicking an 83-year-old man in the chest. And we want to deal with that, but then we don't deal with our own selves. Now, is that the Pharisee or the tax collector? See, we got to check ourselves because we can't just point out everybody else. We got to watch who we are. Look at what I'm doing. This man was even fooled about his prayer. He stood up and prayed about himself. Sometimes you think, "Well, I'm praying. Let me remind you, you approach God with pride, you end up talking to yourself. That's all that happens. When you go to God with pride, you're just talking to yourself. The only person God sends away empty is a person that's full of himself. "Why are my prayers not being answered? Why is God not giving to me?" Because you're so full of yourself. Is it really about God or is it about you? Think about your prayers. How many times do you just pray and it's nothing but thanks to God? That's hard to do. Why? Because we'll start thanking God. And I've tried this so many times. I start out thanking God. And somehow, some way, a minute or two later, it's, "God, give me this. God, help me with that." God, it goes from thanking him to giving to me. Because that's how we are. Now, I'm saying it's not that I'm above you. I'm sure you do the same thing. Listen, all of us are on the same level. Just because I'm the minister doesn't mean I'm more righteous than anybody else. I'm held to a higher standard, but yet we are all the same. I can't tell you how many times somebody in this audience has come up and talked to me about something I said. I don't get mad about it. I appreciate it because if I have the right to talk to you and challenge you, you got the right to challenge me. There's no difference. Now, don't start crying. We just need to do it. Why? Because we need to be our brothers and sisters' keepers. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. So we got to ask ourselves, have I ever acted like a Pharisee? Like, I don't really see me, but I see everybody else. The things everybody else has got to change. This is what's wrong with the singles. This is what's wrong with the teens. This is what's wrong with the marriage. This is what's wrong with the church. Do you realize you are the church? So before we start criticizing what's wrong with something, it always has to come back to us. So the first thing that impresses God is when you don't try to impress God. So we need to just scratch that off our to-do list. Let me impress God today. Look at all. I got to church 15 minutes early. That doesn't make up for all the 20-minute lates you've been coming. It don't balance out. That's just 5 minutes late. 15 early, 20 late. Doesn't work like that. So first of all, what impresses God? Not trying to impress God. Secondly, humility impresses God. Humility. The contrast that Jesus gives us is easily recognizable in this parable. The tax collector was as different from the Pharisee as night and day. See, tax collectors back then were the scum of the Jewish society. They were like the IRS for the Roman government. They would charge a person, if you were to pay 15 shekels, they charge you 37, and then they keep 7 out of that. They give it to the government, but then they keep the rest. They would always overtax people. And that's why when Jesus called him to repent, he said, don't take more than you need. Be content with what you have. Be content with your pay. But see, they were so despised, they could not hold public office. They could not even give a testimony at trial because their word was worthless to the community. The tax collector was to the Pharisee as an outlaw is to the sheriff. But now the story takes a strange twist. Because the Pharisee tried to impress God, but he didn't. But the tax collector impressed God even without trying. And this is where we see what really impresses God. Look in verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me. Look at what this tax collector did. You know what? His feet showed humility. Why? He wouldn't even stand where the tax collector stood. Where the Pharisee stood. The Pharisee stood in the center of the court so he could be seen. The tax collector stood in the shadows on the outskirts because he wasn't worried about how he was seen. You look at his eyes. The Pharisee, he wouldn't look up to heaven. The tax collector wouldn't look up to heaven, but the Pharisee was too proud to look up. The tax collector was too ashamed to look up. You can see it in his hands. It says he beat his breast. And actually what you're saying there is that I know that I have a filthy heart. He was admitting where he stood before God. You can see it in his voice. He said, God, have mercy on me. And the result, verse 14. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The way he stood, what he said, how he handled himself. In other words, his lifestyle was one of humility. It wasn't just, let me say this and put on a Sunday show. His lifestyle was one of humility. This is what we have to look at in our lives. Am I known for my humility? Or am I known for my indignation for the Lord? My righteousness. What was Jesus, when you think of Jesus though, what was he known for? Love. Was he hardline? He was hardline on sin, but he was so loving. Even to those that he challenged hard. The rich young ruler approached him, and he left sad. But how did Jesus handle him? He said Jesus looked at him and loved him, and then told him the truth. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor. He didn't look at him and rebuke him and throw the scrolls at him. He looked at him and loved him. So this guy knew he was loved even as he walked away from Jesus. What impresses God? Humility. On the outside, you would have thought this Pharisee was much closer to God. Look at his prayers. Look at his scrolls. Look at the scriptures all on his clothes. Look at how he wore himself, how he dressed himself, how he walked. You would look at him and think he is so much closer to God. But on the inside, it was a tax collector who was truly closer to God. What impresses God is the man or woman who's willing to humble himself or herself without waiting for God to do it. You realize that? If you don't do it, God will do it for you. And sometimes we say, God, please help me be more patient. And then he puts the most prideful person in your way. And then we get mad. We just prayed about God teaching us patience. Just because he did it his way, we get mad. What's the best way to help you be patient? You got a prideful person in your life that just won't listen and want to dominate you. Okay, that's how you're going to learn patience and trust in God. Trust me, if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. What impresses God? Not trying to impress God, and humility. And then thirdly, honesty impresses God. Honesty. You know, there's one thing worse than being a sinner. You ask me, what is that? Thank you. That's being a sinner and not admitting that you're a sinner. That's worse than being a sinner, because we all know we're a sinner. But when you won't admit that you're in sin, that's even worse. The reason Jesus told this story was to illustrate a principle. God knows our heart. So why do we try to hide things? Why do we try to lie about things? And then we put measurements on our lies. It was just a little lie. It was just nothing big. You know, I went fishing and caught a fish so big. I knew nobody believed me, so I took a picture of it, and the picture was 10 pounds. Because the fish was so big. Like, what? You're sitting there lying. I mean, sometimes we lie about stuff that just is meaningless. Now, as a parent, when my kids come to me and I know they're lying, that's more frustrating than just tell the truth. Why did you do that? What had happened was, oh, no. As soon as you say what had happened was, you are lying, don't even finish that sentence because you're just adding to it. But for real, what happened? Only the guilty flees. I didn't even say your name. God deserves our honesty, and he wants us to come to him with a humble heart. Again, look at verse 14. Luke 18, verse 14. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You look at the Pharisee. If you had taken a vote in the crowd, everybody would have voted that that Pharisee was right with God. But what we forget is that the only vote that really counts is God's. It doesn't matter what we see on the outside, what we portray, it's only God's vote that counts. So what do we learn from this today? We learn that it's not how you see you, but how God sees you that matters. See, we can all see ourselves in a good, righteous, stand up for the Lord way. But is that how God sees us? Because we can look at Peter when he says, I'll never leave you, Lord. I'll never go away. And there he was, the third time the rooster crowed, denying Jesus. It's not how you see you, but it's how God sees you. You say, well, how can I tell? Well, look in the Bible. Open the Bible and see what does the Bible say. Too many times we want to share our opinions and our views. Well, your opinion and views is skewed by your upbringing, your finances, your household. I mean, all those things play into your view. Only thing that doesn't change is the Bible. It doesn't matter how you are financially or educationally. The Bible will be the same. So how do you get a good view of yourself? Look in the Word of God. Secondly, when you see God the way you should, then you will see you the way you should. The other problem is we don't see God as God. We see God as a manager, and we're supervising. Now, let me say that one again. God's the manager. He just takes care of everything and answers prayers and do this and that. Our job is to supervise and make sure everybody stay in line. We got something wrong here. That's not how God operates. Thirdly, mercy is not what God pays you because you have earned it. It's what God gives you because you need it. We need mercy. We need grace. We need forgiveness. And the thing about it, God is there ready to give it to us. But you don't get it unless you humble yourself. The more you exalt yourself, the less mercy and grace you get. Because you don't feel like you need it. Let me close out with this story. Many years ago, a man conned his way into the orchestra of the Emperor of China. Although he couldn't play a single note. Whenever the group practiced or performed, he would hold his flute against his lips, pretending to play, but not making a sound. For years, he received a good salary and enjoyed a comfortable living. Then one day, the emperor requested a solo from each musician. Well, the flutist got nervous. There wasn't enough time to learn the instrument. He pretended to be sick, but the royal physician wasn't fooled. On the day of his solo performance, the imposter took poison and killed himself. The explanation of his suicide led to a phrase that has made its way into the English language. He refused to face the music. The way to impress God is to simply face the music. You have to face who you really are. You have to face your attitude, your struggles, your challenges. You have to face them so you can overcome them. You can face the music now and be a part of God's heavenly band, or you can face the music later and get kicked out of the orchestra. When you realize who you are without God, then you can stop trying to impress Him. Then you can be humble. Then you can be honest. You have to realize who you are without God and let that wake you up so you can face the music. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I hope this encourages us. It's not something to beat us down, but help us to realize God is for us, not against us. But it's every single one of our choices to face the music. It doesn't mean it's got to be bad. It just means we need to face the music and realize who we are. I'm going to pray for us right now. And then when I'm done, we're going to close out and be dismissed. Enjoy a great time of fellowship. Enjoy a great week. Women, Wednesday, 7:30 here. And next Sunday, let me remind you, all the brothers, gentlemen, teens, campus, everybody in the gymnasium. Ladies, 10 o'clock sharp. The food will be ready. Have a great meal. Come in here. Have a great worship. It is going to be an incredible week for the Lord. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here. I pray that you will help us to do your will. That we won't be trying to impress people. We won't be trying to impress anybody but you, God. And by doing that, we will be honest, we will be humble, and we will not be focused on a to-do list, but on what your word calls for us to do. God, we love you. Please be with our service even next week, God. Help us to have many visitors here, God. The room will be full of incredible ladies seeking you, desiring you. And God, help us as men to be strengthening each other just a few doors down. Thank you so much for the many blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are dismissed. Have a great time of fellowship. Amen.